Extra, tell all about it. It's Dave's Big Dictionary. Dave's Big Dictionary it is. And so the word that she picked, which sounded kind of blah when I first heard it, but now that I've been thinking about it, may be one of the most important words for me in all of my life, in all of what I end up doing. The word for Dave's Big Dictionary this week is transmit. Transmit. And here, let me, if I can actually read it from the dictionary without glasses. I really should bring in a pair. Here we go. A verb, of course, to transfer from one person or place to another, to forward, to pass on by, or as if by inheritance, okay, to cause or allow to spread abroad or to another, as in transmit a disease, to cause as a light, electricity, or a force to pass through space or a particular medium to send out, radio or television signals. Synonyms include convey, communicate, impart. I think you can see already where I can go with this one and why transmit is so important to me. I mean, just from being a child, right, in the modern era, born in 1964, so already TV in the living room and one or two of the other rooms by then, radio in the car, radio when I wanted to listen to it, there was always this sense of people out there trying to communicate with me, trying to tell me something interesting, trying, best of all, to make me laugh, trying, you know, because I was a learner type kid, trying to make me think about things, trying to teach me stuff I wanted to know if it was public television. I might watch Sesame Street or Electron Company and not actually be learning anything because it was stuff that I already knew, but I might stay tuned for Hodgepodge Lodge and learn a little bit about frogs, you know, or learn osmotically from the way characters behaved with each other on Sesame Street of how a community works, even though I took my cue more from Oscar the Grouch than from Ernie or Bert. But this idea that somewhere just through the wires, or as Van Morrison would say, the wireless, people could reach me. It was fascinating to me many years, 40 years ago, when we got a little portable radio and it had a short wave on it. And suddenly it was a new avenue, because I knew AM radio. I was listening to FM radio. But here was this idea, now that we take incredibly for granted, that if I tuned in just the right thing, right frequency, I would get some weird broadcast from, if not the government, from England, from Radio Free Europe or Radio Free America. I mean, I remember I was already watching Monty Python on TV and suddenly hearing I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, which featured John Cleese and other British comedians in a radio show. That wasn't on our radio. It was on a short wave. I tuned it in and you know, on a Saturday afternoon, just trying to find that frequency on the dial and not have it be too staticky and not lose it, to just grab all those signals coming from somewhere, these people who wanted to talk to me. It's kind of, you know, eventually I got old enough, I started listening to Howard Stern. I'm becoming a Howard Stern fan. And there was that sense, again, of him talking to millions of people, but also trying to make me laugh and push the envelope and say things that, you know, you're really thinking, but you would never say. But he would say them. And even listening more recently, again, to someone I should have listened to when I was younger, but the 1950s and 60s broadcasts of Gene Shepherd and how special he was at this transmitting of information, entertainment, and just pure personality. This idea that without even seeing him, without knowing what he looked like, and eventually did because he had a TV show and he was kind of well known, and then he did A Christmas Story, but when he was on the air, you could guess things about him and probably guess wrong about the way he looked. There's a funny thing that they do on the radio program from NPR, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And the host there, he has this great, lively, funny radio voice. He's just the perfect host for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Peter Sagal. But when people call in and they say, you know, I have this image in my head of what you look like, and then they actually see him, because there's a couple of pictures on the web, or he might have been interviewed somewhere, and they see that he's a short, little Jewish balding guy. Huh. And it really doesn't match the voice of what people have in their heads. And he always jokes about how disappointed they are that his look doesn't match what they imagine he is from hearing him. But either way, that level of communication, of seeing him, you know, this idea that just through sheer personality and voice alone, he is a better host for that show than almost anyone else could be, just for who he is, because he's able to transmit that aspect of himself to the world at large. And of course, it became so important to me as I got older and wanted to somehow transmit the stuff that was up here. To quote Bob Dylan, you know, I need a dump truck, baby, to unload my head. Just, it's here, and I don't want it all stuck in me. I want people to hear my jokes. I want people to care about what I think about, even if they disagree with me. I want to have my thoughts, my ideas, myself, on some level, transmitted, understood, and appreciated. And, you know, that sounds very egotistical and self-centered, as artists tend to be. But anybody who's on TV and has done radio or has done theater or film and is listening to this, you understand. You know what that is. You know how meaningful that is. You know why I wanted to be on TV. You know why I wanted to be a filmmaker when I was in my teens and I went for that at New York University. And then I said, okay, if I can't really do it, I'll write plays. And they'll hear me that way. And I'll watch people in their seats laughing at the stuff that I wrote. And even up to the past few years when I do one-man shows and I try and get the best of both worlds, so I try and make them laugh with the craft of my writing and maybe disagree or agree with me or get excited about something or angry about something. But at the same time, I'm putting myself out there, the full transmittal of Dave-ness, and doing this. And this is like the perfect word for right now, because next week is the 16th anniversary of Dave's Gone By. We started on October 6th, 2002. Next week it will be October 6th, and we will begin our 17th year of programming. God willing, of Dave's Gone By. What would make a person do this? Would I want fame? Would I want to be on NPR? Would I want to be on CBS or NBC or Fox or MSNBC? Grab me, take me now. Free. I'm already doing this for free. Why do I do it? Because the transmittal, this coming from me to you. And when I was doing this on the radio all these years, and just the radio, and there was a sense of, you know, there might be four people out there listening, or two, or none. You know, there were times when I thought we were transmitting, we were broadcasting, and there was a technical glitch, and nobody was listening, right? But in your head, you hope. You hope you're reaching one person. At the same time, you hope you're reaching thousands. That's why it's so meaningful to me, so important to me, when I see the list of people who tune in, or the people who write in, send me messages, send me emails during the week, and I'm like, okay, I am transmitting. I'm out there. Not everything I say is golden. Sometimes I run off at the mouth. Sometimes I say stuff that you know, I want to take back, rarely, but sometimes I do. And sometimes I get off the air and I forgot to mention such and such. But it's all about the conveyance. And my whole life is that, in a way. I've been a theater critic and a writer, transmitting my thoughts and opinions. I teach here at UNC. I teach not literature, unfortunately, not playwriting, unfortunately, but I teach English. I teach basic grammatical composition and not so basic research paper writing. And I'm not one of those professors, and ask any of my students, I'm not somebody who sits in a chair, hidden by a desk and a PowerPoint, and drones on. I drone a bit, but I'm up there. I'm running around the room. I'm trying to lock eyes with people if they can put down their goddamn cell phones for a minute. But I'm out there. Is it because I care about English? Yeah, I do care about English. Is it because I really want them to be great writers or decent, competent writers? Sure. But it's also like I'm taking 75 minutes out of my day to tell you this stuff, to try and reach you in some way and convey to you these things that all these other teachers are doing. We're all working on some level from the same syllabus. They're doing it their way. I'm doing it from mine. But for me, it's important to transmit this information the way I do it. So whether it's through transmitter towers that were sending my voice out over AM signals or FM signals, right, or through wires doing internet radio, or now through Facebook, which is transmitting image, which I never intended when I started this show, and voice, and keeping these shows as podcasts that you can listen to later, and begging people, if you missed a live show, go listen to the archives. Tell your friends. Tell neighbors. Get people to listen. Even if they hate me, let them give me a try. Posting my stuff on YouTube so that I'm out there all, and I don't see that ever really changing. It's not that I couldn't work a 9-to-5 job, not that I haven't worked a 9-to-5 job here and there and managed it if I liked the people enough, but some part of me will always have to be performative. Some part of me will always have to be this, trying to push this out into space, out into other people, be it 1, be it 10, be it 100, be it 1,000, hopefully, and someday 1,000,000 or 10 million. Won't happen, but somewhere the hope is that I will be able to transmit my Dave-ness to as many people as I can, as often as I can. And that's why 15 plus, almost 16 years later, I'm still doing this. A show called Dave's Gone By, where we do Dave's Big Dictionary.